Coming today on Negotiate Your Best Life with Rebecca Zung.
Understand that your leverage is going to be tied up in something where you threaten a source of narcissistic supply. And that's also the key, the secret to the narcissistic collapse and what happens when a narcissist actually starts to collapse. What does that look like? So the big questions are these. How can we navigate and negotiate every situation in our lives, in our career, in our businesses, in our relationships, and even with ourselves for our own self-worth? In other words, what if you could win every time and have no losers? Let's face it, we're not negotiating just to buy a car or for a pay raise. We are negotiating for living in every aspect of our lives. How can we do that powerfully, successfully, and victoriously? Those are the questions, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Rebecca Zung, and welcome to the time where you negotiate your best life. Welcome to today's podcast. I'm Rebecca Zung. Thanks for joining me today. And this is Negotiate Your Best Life. And I like to try to share as much as I can with people on how to negotiate your best life, but especially how to negotiate your way out of toxic situations, toxic relationships, whether they are a romantic relationship, a family relationship, or even a business relationship, or a neighbor, a friend, whatever. If you are living on this planet, you are dealing with a toxic personality, chances are. Right now, I say that there is a narcissism pandemic. And I say that because, you know, they estimate that roughly 6% of the population is afflicted with narcissistic personality disorder. Obviously, it's an estimate because narcissists are never going to go in and have a psychologist test them and actually do the right thing with that. So they say it's roughly 6%. And then they say that roughly 3.3% has no conscience. So it could be, you know, that they're psychopaths or sociopaths or something like that. So we're looking at 9.3% of the world's population. And if each one of those people narcissistically abuses just 5 people in their lifetimes, which I think is actually probably a low number, because in some ways, they narcissistically abuse anybody who dares to come near them. You know, we're talking about like 3.4 billion people have been, you know, victims or targets of narcissists or people who just simply lack a conscience. And that's a huge, huge population. So, and I'm certainly not immune, which is why I am so passionate about this, why I have this personal crusade. I've had to deal with a couple of narcissists in my own life. And, you know, yes, I'm a lawyer, and yes, I've had to litigate and advocate for people, and I've done so in a very fervent way, in a very strong way, which is why I've had so much success as an attorney, and I've been recognized in a lot of ways. And no, because I say that I'm not a narcissist. I say that so that you all know that I do know what I'm talking about. But I am an empath. And as an empath in my personal life, I also fell prey to a couple of narcissists. And they were people who found me at times that I was particularly open to their narcissism and their predatory ways, because of it was the time in my life that allowed them to be open at that time. And one of the people was an extended family member, not in my immediate family. And one of the people was in a business situation, and I had been in transition and was open to ideas and people coming into my life at that time. And unfortunately, it caused me to be a little bit more vulnerable at the time. And so I was prime meat for these particular narcissists, unfortunately. And because I've dealt with narcissists in my practice as well, I really started to see people starting to more and more to say, "Hey, I'm dealing with a narcissist." And you know, I have to say that even as the lawyer before I started all of this, and really studying narcissism and really became prey myself and then realized what had happened and realized I was dealing with narcissists, I was one of those lawyers that kind of rolled my eyes. I was one of those people who said, "Hey, you know, I'm sure the person is probably difficult. They might even be a jackass. I'm sure they're a super jerk, but are they really a narcissist? And who really cares? Let's just get this case done." And that's how I felt. And you know, I'm on this mission, this crusade now, to help people get to educate their lawyers, get to educate their you know, themselves, because you're never going to get these cases settled or be able to negotiate your way out of a situation with a narcissist unless you understand the narcissistic personality. And so today's topic is all about the collapse of the narcissist. And if you are in any kind of a intimate relationship with a narcissist or a close relationship with a narcissist, whether it's a business relationship, maybe it's an employer, maybe it's an employee. But if you're in a situation where that narcissist is in your space, you're probably wondering how on earth they continue living the way they do without collapsing. Because, you know, they are sometimes extremely emotional, extremely volatile, and a lot of times they spin webs and webs and webs of lies, and you think, how do they constantly get away with that? If I had, you know, a dollar for every time I had a client say, how do they get away with that? I'd have many, many, many more dollars. So, and how do they get away with it? I'll just kind of do a tangent here for a quick second and just say, you know, when you're dealing with a narcissist in a particular case, there are no divorce fairies or, you know, case fairies, litigation fairies who stand in your living room and jump out the minute the person doesn't do what they say they're going to do or does something that they're not supposed to. It just doesn't happen that way. Who's going to call them out on their behavior? You know, you can't do it. Obviously, you've probably tried. And, you know, your lawyers don't have that superpower either, unfortunately, even though many times we do wish we could. Hey, it makes our job a whole lot easier if the other person is, you know, sane or rational or smart, intelligent, and, you know, a combination of all of those things makes it really, really much more easy to come to a resolution in the case, and then you look like the superhero. But that's not how it normally goes when you're dealing with a narcissist. So you'll see them ignoring court orders and doing all these things. And lying, filing false pleadings, using the court system as a weapon, using children as pawns, you know, manipulating text messages, manipulating things that you've said, that they've said, that you've done, that they've done. And you think, how in the heck are they getting away with this? Well, the reason why they do is because who's going to call them out on their behavior? The only person who has any power over anybody else in our society, other than a policeman if the person breaks the law, is the judge. That's the only person who has any power to turn around and say, you can't do that. And if you continue to do that, here are the bad things that are going to happen to you. I'm going to issue sanctions. I'm going to hold you in contempt, maybe even put you in jail, depending on what the offense is. You know, withhold discovery from you or paperwork or not allow you to file pleadings. You know, the judge can do these things, but how do you get in front of a judge? Well, you have to file something and then set it for hearing. So it's either going to be in the form of a hearing or the form of a trial. I mean, you have to be in front of the judge in order for the judge to be able to make those kinds of decisions and render punishment on another person. And remember, a judge's job is not necessarily to punish. A judge's job is to apply the law. And so if there's some law that allows them to apply something that looks like punishment, great. But, you know, there's a huge difference between law and justice, unfortunately, or what you think should be justice. So sometimes it never really comes to fruition the way you think that it should, which is why it's very important that you have super strong strategy, develop unbelievable leverage, anticipate what the narcissist is going to do and be two steps ahead of them, and focusing on you and your position. And that's my Slay system, and that's what I talk about in, or I teach in my Slay program. So anyway, I understand that your leverage is going to be tied up in something where you threaten a source of narcissistic supply. And that's also the key, the secret to the narcissistic collapse and what happens when a narcissist actually starts to collapse. What does that look like?
Coming up, more on Negotiate Your Best Life with Rebecca Zahn.
And when a narcissist collapses, they lose the ability to control anything, including themselves. Are you struggling with how to negotiate and win? Maybe you're dealing with a personality that's particularly challenging, like a narcissist or other high-conflict personality, and you're feeling powerless. Make sure to download my free Win My Negotiation cheat sheet at www.winmynegotiation.com.
Take a listen to our archive, where you can listen to more episodes that show you the path to how to negotiate your best life.
I had the hardest time in relationships. I kind of went through bad relationship after bad relationship. And then I myself was in a year and a half long relationship with a narcissist that was very toxic. And it, you know, this is a story for another time, but I had a near-death experience essentially. And it really shook me. And it just got me to that, you know, we all hit that lowest low. And I just thought, I can't live my life like this.
And now we return to today's show.
So narcissistic supply is anything that feeds a narcissist's ego, and they rarely run out of it. And remember, feeding their ego is also in the form of jerking you around, dragging you through the court system, making you spend money, intimidating you, scaring you. All of those things are a form of narcissistic supply. All of those things feeds the narcissist's ego. So it's not until they run out of supply or they run out of a form of supply that really means a lot to them that you start to see their collapse. But when you do start to see their collapse, it's one of the most bewildering things to witness because of how dramatic it is. And it can be scary, and it's usually pretty bizarre in relation to their normal behaviors. So narcissists are constantly searching for supply because they have no true inner sense of value. They have no sense of self-esteem. So narcissistic supply is what fuels their existence. It's what makes them feel good, at least momentarily better. And it makes them feel like they have some sort of value. So if they lose supply and they're depleted of any and all senses of value, their collapse will be an interesting one to witness, that's for sure. But this is what you should be prepared to see if you come across a narcissist during their collapse. So number one is that they lose their ability to control themselves. Narcissists are constantly doing things, anything that they can in order to control their surroundings, to control people, to control their environment. Everything is about control. And when a narcissist collapses, they lose the ability to control anything, including themselves. So number two is that you start to see them behaving erratically or impulsively. You might see that because that narcissistic injury gets triggered, and then you start to see that narcissistic rage come flying out. And it's really pretty awful, you know, sometimes depending on the type of narcissist, but they start making mistakes when they start to lose control. And that's where you start to see, you know, maybe a text message that becomes a great potential trial exhibit or a great form of leverage against them. You start to see they're lying to cover up other lies, which, you know, really shows something that contradicts something that they said before. And so they start saying things that might get them in trouble or make them look bad. So on a normal day for a narcissist, they, you know, might have some behaviors that might be deemed regrettable, but that doesn't happen as often. They're usually in pretty good control, but when you start to see them losing control and acting erratically and impulsively, that's when they start to make mistakes, and that's when they start to do things that will end up being fantastic forms of leverage or trial exhibits. So the trial exhibits are the things that you're going to use potentially not even at trial. Hopefully you'll be able to make them and use them at mediation or use them in your negotiation setting and say, I will use this at trial if you don't settle with me here. That's the best place, the best form to use it in, because you really don't want to have to go to trial if you don't have to. If you go to trial, you know, you're dealing with a judge who could also be an unknown factor, you know. Sometimes they get it right. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they see things the way you do. Sometimes they don't. That's why there's an appeals process. Judges make mistakes all the time. So the best place to use potential trial exhibits is really in that little sweet spot right before you go to trial, where you can show them to them and say, listen, this is how it's going to go. So and scare them and intimidate them into thinking that a form of supply that means more to them to keep is going to be threatened. And that supply means more to them to keep than the supply that they get from making your life miserable. So that's really going to be your key there, is when they start to come unglued that way, that really will help you. So hoovering is the next one. And during the narcissist collapse, they will often try to get you back into their lives. They start that love bombing again. They need supply, and they'll do anything they can to get it back. They may even beg you desperately for another chance. You know, the other thing about narcissists is that they always want what they can't have. So as soon as you're no longer in their web of control and you're out of their lair, then they want you back. That's when they start to go, oh my God, you know, and it, part of it is that they want to keep, it's almost like jars, mason jars of supply. They want to keep anybody around who is going to be a potential source of supply for them. So if you could potentially give them supply either by, you know, just being in their space and loving them and giving them, you know, empathy or respect or care, then they want you back for that. And then they also might want you back because you make them look good. They might want you back because then they can show, you know, that they have that control over you still. You know, it's not usually about you. It's always about them and what they're going to get out of it. So the next thing is narcissistic rage. And narcissistic rage is pretty scary to see, but during their collapse, they're going to, you know, go into these rages sometimes, total meltdown. I've seen it. I've seen guys come into my office. We've done mediations where that rage just came flying out. I've seen them punch walls and scream, yell. They do these things to try to control the process. And in some ways, sometimes it's a rage that's kind of calculated to scare you, to intimidate you, to say, look what you've done, and to get you back, into their web. So a lot of times you start to see this collapse happening right before they're ready to give up, by the way. Narcissists are always the worst right before they are ready to give up and give in. So, and then the last one is they may have a complete and total meltdown. If this happens, you'll start to see crying, anxiety and panic attacks, and possibly even severe depression. What the narcissist is constantly trying to protect themselves from is what they will be experiencing. The crying will, you know, at this point may just be not even to manipulate you. It just may be that they're experiencing the loss of this supply source, but don't get sucked into this. I know you empaths out there. I see you out there. And, you know, this is not, you can't be moved by this, because if you suck back in, they'll make it so much worse for you. And you just got to keep moving forward and keep your eyes on the prize, which is that light at the end of the tunnel and getting out of this situation. You know, this might be the most honest you'll ever see the narcissist when they've completely collapsed into themselves. And it's, you know, kind of sad and pathetic. And obviously, as empaths, we have compassion for these people. But we can have compassion for them, over there, like way far away in a distance in their rearview mirror when you go, wow, that's really sad that that person is like that. That's really sad that the situation is this way, but I can't change them. I can't fix them. I didn't create this. I can't cure it. And I just have to keep moving forward. So if you are getting ready to negotiate with a narcissist, I do highly recommend that you get my free Crush My Negotiation prep worksheet. It's an ebook. It's free. Just go to winmynegotiation.com and grab it. I'd also like for you to come and join me. I'm extending an invitation. Join me in my free private Facebook group, which is Narcissist Negotiators with Rebecca Zung. Come join me in that and, you know, be able to connect with others and actually support each other in this situation, because narcissists do often isolate their targets, their victims, and it can be very lonely and you can feel like you're crazy. And so come join me in my free private Facebook group as well. If you haven't subscribed to my YouTube channel, you should definitely do that. It's just youtube.com/Rebecca Zung. I put up videos every single day. And, you know, come subscribe to my channel and also subscribe to this podcast, rate it, review it, let other people know, share it out. You know, we need to help other empaths and other targets and victims of the world. So let's get this message spread. Let's get this information out there. I'm Rebecca Zung. I'm so glad that you joined me today on this episode of Negotiate Your Best Life. Remember, today is a great day to start negotiating your best life. And I will see you or hear you or connect with you in another episode of this podcast or over on my YouTube channel, or hey, follow me on Instagram too at Rebecca Zung. I go live on YouTube. I go live on Instagram. I go live on my fan Facebook page, which is Rebecca Zung, Top 1% Attorney. I do my AAA sessions there, where you can ask the attorney anything, and you can come and join me there too as well. So thanks so much for joining me, and I will connect with you very soon. Thanks for stopping by and listening to this episode of Negotiate Your Best Life. I'm Rebecca Zung. Check back next Monday for more inspirational pearls of wisdom. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, I'd love if you would give it a 5-star rating and tell me what you liked in a review on iTunes. Also, be sure to grab your winning negotiation cheat sheet at winmynegotiation.com. And remember, today is a perfect day to start negotiating your best life.